like 500 home runs in the major leagues. That's a Hall of Fame right there.
Okay.
Not to say each episode was a home run, though.
a lot of sacrifice flies.
A few sack flies in there. A couple of ones where he tried to bunt a third strike and went foul, got out.
Yeah.
A couple of those.
Yeah. A few complete just swing and misses.
Yeah. We did have one where it hit the catcher's glove and got on catcher's interference. So there's that. Right. Yeah. So I guess what we're saying is this is not a guaranteed Hall of Fame situation.
That's very true.
Hello and welcome to episode 500 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
It's where we were supposed to be. Probably would have been tomorrow.
We
would have been recording 500 in person tomorrow.
Wow.
Morgan, mañana.
Okay.
Le jeu de semaine. How do you say it in French? What's tomorrow in French?
You're asking the wrong Canadian.
Yeah. All right. There's that. Anyways, yeah, so I'm not there. Okay.
That's true.
We're off and running. The clock is ticking.
You could be. It could be a surprise. You could just knock on the door and then, hey, it's like one of those, you know, surprise reunion shows. Like
that
Jerry
would
Springer.
Be, yeah. 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 Jerry. Have you ever seen an episode of Jerry Springer?
Oh, yeah. In university, we used to watch it all the time. It was okay. Kind of our comic relief, yeah.
I guess watching with a group of dudes, like, that would be funny. I can get it.
Yeah.
But it occurred to me, I've never actually seen an episode of the show. I've seen clips. I'm aware of the show, because I've seen clips, of course, but never seen an episode. And do you want to know what else? Until recently, I had never seen an episode of. I had never seen a complete episode of a show that probably had 200 episodes.
Tell me.
Baywatch.
Oh, I've seen many episodes.
I have seen clips here and there. Like, it's one of those things I'm aware it was a show and it was on, and I'm fully aware of what it was and Hasselhoff and the slow motion running and all that stuff. I get all that. It's one of those things that can just be in the zeitgeist without actually having to watch it.
True.
It's on Amazon Prime in Germany anyway. I don't know where it is, if it's where you are, but it's all of them are on Amazon Prime.
So what episode are you on?
I think we're in the beginning of season two.
Nice.
And that's taken like 9 months to do it. We started, my wife had never seen it either. She always heard about it because obviously Hasselhoff's a god here, right?
Yeah.
And so we started watching it, and it's the easiest show in the world to watch because you don't really have to pay attention. And it turns out it is terrible.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it is a really, really, really bad show.
And it was a bad show then, and now I imagine, because I haven't seen it in 15 years, that it doesn't hold up very well.
No. I was ashamed that it's a show. I mean, he made some money on that one. Good for Hasselhoff. The whole story behind it is awesome, which we're not going to go into here. But good for him for doing it and believing in himself and doing that. But yeah, doesn't hold up.
Okay.
So check it out. Check it out on Amazon Prime.
They're going to be saying the same thing about the Two Hosers in a couple of years.
No, Hasselhoff's a big fan.
No, when they go back to like episode, you know, 287, they're going to be like, yeah, wow, those guys doesn't hold up.
So what
up.
I'm hearing you say is that for next episode, you'd like to see if I can get Pamela Anderson to come on.
Sure. That would be great.
She's a Vancouver girl. She's probably up in Whistler somewhere.
Maybe. I haven't been on Pam Watch for a while.
No, I know, but she's a Vancouver girl. So I think that's probably where she lives. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't pay attention.
I feel like she's Hollywood. no, they've kicked her out of Hollywood. Yeah.
Oh yeah. She's the Blue Zone girl, so we're good. Okay. Anyway, speaking of Amazon, if you need some stuff, click through our site. Go right to Amazon. Help us out.
It sure
helps keep the show going. I did buy some stuff recently. That's the Forever update. You know what a Robertson screwdriver is, right?
I think it's is it the square one?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's I believe it's a Canadian invention.
Okay.
It is the best screwdriver, and there it's not used anywhere else. Like it's not used over here except for on certain things. Like when I use my pocket hole jig and have pocket hole screws, they have it comes with a Robertson screwdriver bit, but it's super long. It's like 6 inches long, so that you can really hammer those pockets, the screws in there, right? Because it's a long story why you need it. Except for when you're making certain things, it's hard to then maneuver your screwdriver, your like drill, let your cordless drill with that long of a screwdriver bit into certain areas like of your furniture.
Okay.
This is a long way of me telling you I bought a bunch of short Robertson screwdriver bits so I can continue.
Oh, there's the payoff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got a bunch of those and looking forward. Well, I've a little table, an outdoor table sitting downstairs that's half put together that is now sitting there waiting until these bits show up tomorrow.
Okay.
It's a sad story.
Mm-hmm.
However, not the only thing I bought. I bought something else exciting to me. And I think you would be impressed as well. Or jealous, or maybe just get one. I don't know.
Okay.
What's your position on French press for coffee?
We've been through it. Again, it's not for me. It seems like it's a process that I would not do on a regular basis. But the coffee's good. I have a system that works great for us, so I don't need the French press. Plus, I like to make a lot of coffee and have a couple of cups. So the French press is good for one cup for me. But yeah, it's not my workflow.
You can get a bigger French press than that.
I guess so. I haven't seen giant French presses here. I'd need a French press the size of a building.
Right. Yeah. No, we have one that fits in the yard.
Okay.
I go stand on the roof and like step on it to push it down. No, I'm a French press guy, mostly because I'm the only one in the house who drinks actual drip coffee. My wife is an espresso or a latte cappuccino type.
Okay.
And so we have one of those machines for her, and then but I happen to like just regular coffee, not drip coffee, obviously French press coffee. So we have a French press in the house, but it's a nice one made of glass. We're gonna go camping, and so I bought a steel French press.
Okay.
Strictly for camping, so I've used one before. They're outstanding. I highly recommend the French press. Do you have a drip system, or are you talking like cappuccino?
No, a drip system.
How often do you clean that out? Like, how often do you run the vinegar water through it and whatnot?
Every couple of months. Like, we just did it, and it comes out amazing. But yeah, I know the coffee maker I have, I should find out exactly what it is, because it's not your run-of-the-mill. It was hard to find. It was actually recommended to us from somebody who owns their own coffee roasting company and just said, mm-hmm. You have to buy one of these. And it is the greatest coffee maker we've ever owned. It is amazing. And it brews to certain temperatures, which is all about, getting the maximum flavor out of the bean. Like it is terrific. So I'll pass that info along to anyone who cares. But it was a very basic machine, and it was very, well, I'd say reasonably expensive for just a basic, coffee maker. I think it was a bit more than that, but it was just, again, very basic. There's not a whole bunch of settings. There's not a warmer underneath. Like it just,
is there a timer on it?
I believe no, there's no timer.
Good.
It's just the super basic brews great coffee at the proper coffee brewing temperature. And then it goes into a stainless steel carafe, and that's what keeps the coffee warm for a couple hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the coffee talk.
Coffee talk. Yeah.
Got it done. Point is, I bought my steel. I'm not going to take that coffee machine that you have camping in the tent trailer.
Probably not.
So I got the steel French press. That's the move. Got it on Amazon. Like I said, click through our site, help us out. All right, what's going on, Adam?
Summer, yeah, summer's nice. Yeah. It's the weather's gotten very warm. I think today it's going to hit 30 here, which is the highest it's been so far. But we've had a run of great weather, so been outside lots. Went to the beach yesterday afternoon.
Which beach?
Your favorite beach, Spanish Banks. We went there and stayed.
I was going to say Wreck Beach.
No, we stayed from, you know, basically dinner time around. We went around 4:35 and stayed until sunset. So that was really okay, nice.
Hold on. I do want to hear the rest of the story. I want to clarify my joke. It's now awkward because I thought you were going to say that my favorite beach was Wreck Beach. But now that I know, realize that you went with your family, me saying Wreck Beach makes it weird.
Okay.
That's not the joke I was going for. I was not making it weird, Adam.
No, I get it. That's why I just powered past.
Yeah. Okay. I decided to double back on it and shine a light on my idiocy. So we did that.
Just before 5.
Okay. And how's parking down there with all the COVID stuff?
It was still pretty busy. I mean, I think because the weather's nice and down at Spanish Banks, you know, there's lots of space to spread out, but the parking was still busy. Like we got parking within a minute or two, but there's still, for the most part, most of the parking was occupied. So I wasn't really that surprised because it is so beautiful there and there is so much space. So very easy to spread out and socially distance there. But there were still a lot of people, yeah.
That's the spot where, like, typically whenever we're back, like in the summertime, we meet all our friends down there, like you and a whole bunch of people go meet down there. And I remember, like, your brother-in-law, who's a friend of mine as well, was not happy that we were going there because I think even made his wife do the parking. He just said, "I can't do this." Because when it's proper summertime, no COVID, you can wait half an hour for a spot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
like it's terrible.
True.
A minute you're fine, but nice that it's still busy down there though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are taking advantage. And I mean, that was midweek, right? That was a Wednesday that we were down there. And so I imagine it's probably going to be a little busier this weekend, just being the August long weekend here. And it's a holiday Monday, I think.
Right.
There'll be more people crowding at the beaches.
How is it BC Day already?
I don't know.
I think yesterday was St. Paddy's Day.
Sure.
All right. Wake me up when it's 2021, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. All right. We were at the lake today, just now.
Okay.
But a couple days ago, we were also at the lake because we like going to the lake. If we had an ocean, we'd go to the ocean. I'll be perfectly honest with you, but a lake will do. And so while we were at the lake the other day, we were there for about 25 minutes, and my daughter got stung by a wasp.
Oh, no.
Twice.
Yeah, they had the two little stingers.
Yeah, it got her twice. In her mouth.
Oh.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
I evidently, like, she had a sandwich and wasn't paying attention, and it landed on her sandwich as she was eating. And all of a sudden, she just looked at me and spit a wasp out and said, "Oh, Daddy, that wasp was in my mouth." And I said, "Well, it's a good thing it didn't bite you." "It didn't?" I said, "Well, no, you would know." And then kaboom, it hit her. Like, "He did." And yep, sure enough, it got her. And so she's just screaming. And my wife's like, What do we do? And I was like, "We go home right now. Like, we get out of here. Like, we're at the lake. We're not at the hospital."
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't expect anything to happen, but we had ridden our bikes there is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And neither myself, my wife, or any of my kids ever have an adverse reaction to a wasp sting. However, I was worried, like, if you do, the mouth is not where you want the swelling to happen.
Probably not.
Probably not good for the breathing, is my guess.
Okay.
Okay. Turns out it was all fine. She powered through. She cried halfway home and then stopped and had a fun day.
All right.
In the mouth.
Yeah, that's not great.
No. So there's that. You know what is great, though?
No.
Cameras. There's new cameras being announced every day right now.
Wow. I'm out of the loop. I haven't been paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention, and then the floodgates opened. And then, obviously, we talked about Canon like a week and a half ago or whenever it was. We talked last week about what Canon did and and how that affects me, and basically the thing that everyone's talking about with the Canon R5 and R6 is you can fry an egg on those things.
Okay.
So they get so hot that they basically have to shut down lest they melt.
Okay, so that's not good. That's a tick in the no buy column.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Not for me, not exactly, because first of all, I don't know what people were expecting. Magic, you know, they're not gonna be like what you're getting in that small package is it's unbelievable. However, I think we might have talked about this last week. I forget where I talked about it on Don's show here, whatever. Point being, it's not awesome, but depending on how you use the camera, it might not be a deal breaker.
Okay.
However, Sony fired their own salvo into the mix today, or yesterday, day before, and announced the A7S3. You writing that down? All those numbers?
Yeah, letters? I'm still on the A7S2.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's like 5 years ago, and everyone's okay. Been waiting. But the problem is there's an A7 III.
Ooh,
so
that...
now this is the A7S3. It's a right. Different camera. It's a lot. That's a lot going on. Point being, they announced a pretty awesome camera that they claim does not overheat unless you really, 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 really try to make it overheat. And so, the Canon, you can shoot for like 18 minutes on 4K and then it overheats. This thing, you can go well over an hour. Some guys are saying like 90 minutes straight without stopping.
And wow.
It doesn't overheat. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a big deal. And mm-hmm. Like we're talking like in a small package. And a lot of other stuff going on. But basically, what Canon did is Canon said, hey, we're going to make an 8K video camera. Ha, ha, ha. Like, you know, zero people need 8K, mm-hmm. by the way. Zero people need 6K. Slightly more than zero people need 4K, but it's not that much more. I'm still not buying into the whole, oh, you got to get 4K. I like HD. What's your TV? Is your TV, you have a 4K TV yet?
Yes.
The way you answer tells me no.
No, we do. Yeah, we do. Our downstairs, our kind of family room TV is a 4K TV. But I watch, I'd say probably 80% of the content I watch is just on regular 1080.
Right.
Yeah.
And can you tell?
I could tell, but it doesn't matter to me, the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what Sony did was they basically went 4K. I think 4K is the max it'll handle. I forget now all the specs. Point being, it's designed to be a video camera / still camera hybrid, like the other ones, mirrorless camera. It's only 12 megapixels.
Okay.
On a full frame. It's a full frame sensor, only 12 megapixels.
It's like the 5D Mark I or whatever, the classic.
Yeah, exactly. That's Xactamundo, which guess what my favorite camera is?
That one.
Yeah. Yeah. I for one, I never bought into the megapixel race once they went above. Well, you tell me, what was the minimum number of megapixels before you? You kind of came in a little bit late into the digital game, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit later.
Yeah. I don't know what my cameras, like what the T2i was or whatever that first camera was, but I'm going to suspect it was like 8.
Yeah, it probably would have been 8 to 10.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so at that point, but you started to see the point and shoots coming into the market, and my first one was like a 2 megapixel camera, and then I splurged and went and bought a 3 megapixel camera, and that's a small sensor and a little point and shoot throwaway camera. But then once the DSLR started coming in, like Nikon was making the entry level ones that were 4 megapixel, and then it came out with a 6 megapixel camera. And I remember like my lawyer friend asking me like, oh gosh, I better get the 6. And I was like, stay with the 4. If your 4 is not broken, stay with it. 4 is the magic number for the prints you're doing. Like you can do 8x10s or 8x12s, whatever, on a 4 megapixel, and you'll never tell. You'll not mm-hmm. know the difference. If you go put your nose to it, like Cameron Fry did in Ferris Bueller, and then yes, you're going to see, you'll see the pixels. But odds are you're not going to go and put your nose up to your images. You're going to stand back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, point being, it's an indicator to me that Sony is actually serious about making a very good camera, a very good functional camera, because they didn't buy into the whole got to have 50 megapixels. We're using 12. That's all you need. We're going to focus on doing what's right. Low light, the low high ISO, low noise, and we're going to make a really good video camera that can take still. So, suffice to say, I'm more confused than ever.
Another contestant.
Yeah. Good news is I don't need one right away. Good news is no one's hiring me in this climate right now anyway. So, I have a little time to let the dust settle, but kind of leaning towards this now.
Okay.
All right. Reminder, monthly challenge for July is summer. Hashtag that, two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers, even better, do both of those and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram, and we'll talk about that next week. Did you shoot anything interesting this week, Adam?
For a change, I actually did.
I saw that. Whenever I see you put something in the Dropbox, I'm like, okay, here we go. So what are we looking at here?
I did family photos. It was an anniversary, not anniversary present, birthday. I think it was a birthday present for the people in this photo. So I'm showing you a photo from Gary Point that I took, you know, just this past week. And the father in the photo is a good friend of mine. And
wait, so you know John or Ed Harris's stunt double from The Right Stuff?
Yes, I do. I know him.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy. But his mother was having, I believe it was a birthday. So I don't know. I'm not sure what the number was. Let's say 70 or 65 or something in that neighborhood. And so they wanted to, she's very much into photos and wanted to have family photos of the families. There's sort of three families. So this family that I'm showing in the photo, my friend's brother's family, a family of four, and then the grandparents and sort of different groups. So we sort of did family separate. So I just showed, you know, one photo of my favorite backdrop that I used, and then the other family, and then the grandparents, and then just different combinations. And then we went to a few different backgrounds. So I brought my wife with me. We spent probably, I don't know, between an hour and a half, something along those lines, and did a whole bunch of different photos, some with flash, some without flash. And
is this with flash?
This is with no flash. This is just ambient light just before sundown. So yeah, magic hour, last probably 20 minutes of magic hour. So just get, you know, really, really nice, pleasing kind of ready orange sunset light, and then you see sort of, you got shadows, and then you got the background and blue sky and just a kind of a neat mix of just, you know, great light. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to show that I am still doing some photography outside of photo challenges. So there you go.
No, this is great, actually. This is fun. I want to make jokes and stuff because that's what I do, not about you, but just in general. Is the middle kid, he likes soccer, right?
The middle kid likes soccer.
The boy who looks like who's between the two ages looks like to me. The boy on the right-hand side of the picture.
Okay, does he like soccer?
Yeah.
Oh, because the haircut, is that it?
Yeah, that's very European soccer haircut.
Oh, okay.
Like that, like he fits right in the Bundesliga here.
Sure, I don't.
Good
I don't,
for him.
I don't watch the Bundesliga, but I like this.
I'll bet you he's a huge Messi fan.
No, he's not. He's not.
I'm going to ask him.
I promise you he's not, just because he's one of my son's friends and they play hockey, Ronaldo, and baseball together, and he does not play soccer.
He looks the part. I'm impressed. Like I see, because that's what all the kids wear, how they wear their hair here. So he fits right in. So well done to him. I thought he was modeling after some of the top Premier League guys.
No, but I'll let him know.
And I can't place Hirsch. It's not Kira Sedgwick, but it might be something close like that. I can't tell. There's an actress or somebody that she looks like, and I can't quite place it.
Okay.
Okay, so those are the jokes. Get those jokes out of the way.
Sure.
Oh, no, it looks fantastic. I mean, everybody wearing white shirts, which I'm guessing was by design, by their design.
Yeah, they plan their coordinated outfits.
Big smiles. We got nice, even golden light across everybody. But look, everybody, go and look at this photo. Look at how the sort of shadow falls across their feet. Like the natural shadows from the driftwood or whatever's causing that. It's not, I wouldn't say shadow, but it's shade. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's shade. It's just where it's like a spotlight effect of where the light is hitting.
You nailed the timing. You got them right. Like it's just there lit up perfectly. The separation with the sky, which is there, but the separation with that sort of like. To me, the shade obviously is slightly more blue than the orange faces.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's, like, perfect placement. Everybody's in focus. Finally, took 500 episodes. You took a good photo, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for all your support.
They must have been happy with
this. Yeah. They like. There's so many photos. But I really like this. And I see this family regularly, so I was gonna tell them, yeah, you need to print this one. This one's good. If I had this in my own family, this would be up on the wall.
I'm putting this on my wall. I'm gonna hand this out. This is my Christmas card next year.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Merry Christmas from Ed Harris's stunt double and Kira Sedgwick. It's not Kira Sedgwick I'm thinking of, but I can't think of who it is.
But that's just a good name, so.
Yeah,
Kira Singles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what it was. She gave me her garage door opener one time.
Perfect.
Deep reference. Okay.
Yeah, I don't get
well,
it.
Well done. I'm looking at the, what's the EXIF data we're shooting on? What are we at here for? Oh, that's the 50 mil?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the 50 mil. Wow. Normally you tend to go longer on these.
Nope, I did. Mostly because we were moving in some of the groups with the two families plus the grandparents. Like it's just a lot more people. So I was making it simple. I did do a couple of individual shots and I switched to 85, but for all the group shots, I stuck with a 50 mil.
All right. And this is one of my favorite locations. I mean, you have everything you need down there. You have open spaces. You have an amazing sunset. Unfettered? I don't know. Is that right? Unblocked by because the ocean's right there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing, and all the driftwood and the grass and the wildness, like the tamed wildness down there, wilderness. It makes for a great location. So well done.
Thank you.
And I shot nothing interesting, so that makes life easy.
Perfect.
I mean, I shot some things, but again, nothing interesting. Once I saw yours, I was like, yeah, forget it. You know, like.
Game over.
Yeah, it's just playing for second place at this point. I'm not doing that. Like I got me. I might have Alan Shepard stunt double, but come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, best case scenario. So there's that. All right. Challenge this week was crop sensor because as I alluded or just came out and said, one of the reasons I was considering when it was changing camera platforms, one of the cameras I'm considering is a crop sensor. And like yourself, you know, I've kind of fallen in love with the idea of a full frame. And so I was wondering if the crop sensor was going to be a deal breaker. I should also mention that one of the other things in the Sony I forgot to mention was that they seem to have, I'll say 95% solved the rolling shutter situation.
Okay.
Like it looks amazing. Like I can't, like in real world use, I can't imagine that you're even going to notice it. So that's pretty awesome. But on the crop sensor, it's generally much less pronounced, the rolling shutter effect. And so that was kind of a plus to me, but I was like, you know what? I've kind of fallen in love with the full frame. So, I don't know. So this week I wanted to say the challenge, that's why this week the challenge was crop sensor, because can we still shoot good photos with the crop sensor? Answer is yes. Let's have a look at yours.
So mine was from our beach day yesterday. So right. I took the little camera, the Fuji, And yeah, I just snapped a photo. I don't know what time this was taken at the EXIF data. I can tell
I
you.
I do, 7:34.
Yeah, so this is just a little pre-magic hour. But yeah, just my wife and son had been throwing the football in the water and they came out and I said, oh, I want to snap your photo. So I took kind of a typical Spanish bank shot with some of the skyline in the background. And I didn't check the data, but I'm pretty sure the fill flash fired, which really worked well here. I didn't even intentionally do it, but then I took a few without it and I thought, oh, it just fills in some of those shadows really, really well. So smart camera. And yeah. And I just like the shadow on the beach. So I included that in the shot just because I liked how their silhouettes kind of posed on the beach beside them. And yeah, just a super easy shot that I would have never thought such a small little camera could do so easily. So
I wish it was a full frame though.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Clearly, this is a piece of crap.
Would have been better. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even think of the joke. It's excellent. This is what I'm saying is that the full frame, the whole full frame, it's not a myth though, is it? But the whole culture is a little bit over the top, in my opinion.
Okay.
Nowadays. That being said, I like mine. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I like them both, but I still marvel at what you can do with such a tiny little setup. Like this is such a small camera and no extras. Like I say, this isn't off camera or on camera, you know, flash. This is just the little bit of fill and from the tiny little flick that that camera provides, and then just whatever magic they've got going on inside that camera to make, you know, a 23 millimeter lens look so nice, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And plus look at the out of focus background too. I was like, oh, well, he must have shot this on an F2. Close, F2.8. So not way off.
Yeah.
But I also find, you know, in the last, I don't know, X number of years, 4 years or whatever it's been, I tend to not want to go extreme with the out of focus depth of field anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a happy medium. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, look what I can do. Look at this bokeh. It's pronounced bouquet. Now, I don't know what it's pronounced, but I don't care. But so that was always one of my concerns, was like, well, you're shooting a 23 mil lens, you know, it's a crop sensor. Are you going to get out of focus? But yeah, you are. In fact, a nice one too, so that you can still see what's going on there. You don't look pretentious, and it's awesome. So, I wasn't sure what how, and the fill flash too. Like I've noticed that as well. The fill flash, which I use almost never, but when it does pop up, it does an amazing job,
mm-hmm.
especially for an on camera little tiny little, you know, postage stamp size
mm-hmm.
fill flash. Yeah. All right. Well, I also took mine with the X100. I wasn't going to. I was gonna try to do something different with the old 40D, but I ended up just having the X100 at a nice time in the evening. And so, one of the knocks against the X100 is it doesn't shoot good people pics, or doesn't shoot good portraits. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like your photo, and same thing. Like, you just, it's hard to believe that this is a portrait taken on that camera, because you think wide angle shouldn't be able to do this, but it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, to be clear, I did shoot this, like, this is cropped. I shot this landscape orientation.
Okay.
And then ended up not liking all what was going on around it. So I just cropped the sides off. So had I framed this up this way in the portrait orientation, I would have been a little bit closer to her and you would have seen a little bit more distortion.
Okay.
But in this case, no, this was just a grab shot. The sun was, it was kind of, the sun was just dipping down. We were kind of outside having fun in the summer evening. And I said, let me grab the camera. We're getting cool light bouncing off the house, kind of light, throwing some light on her. I said, it's just that simple. Just grab the X100 and boom, done. I love the way the colors come out. I love the depth of field is, and this one's extreme. This one probably is an F2, which I find I shoot at F2 an awful lot because it's actually ridiculously sharp at F2 too, that camera. So in the end, the I don't know that the crop sensor is going to be my deal breaker.
That's right.
What I thought it might be.
I agree with you. Just seeing how good the crop sensors have gotten. I included that other photo of my family at Blue Hour, just again, more for the point of it was a bit underexposed. And sure. So I brought up the shadows and I brought up the exposure a bit to where, you know, it was where I wanted it. And no sharpening, no noise reduction, and it looks like the quality, like the actual image quality, is just outstanding. So even when you miss, that was kind of the point. Even when you miss, the noise is so minimal on that camera that again, the photos look great. So I thought that was a crop sensor sort of drawback, was that, you know, you were going to get more noise on those underexposed shots.
Yeah, that's what you hear. Bottom line is cameras are so good now across the board that even like the cheap ones that you buy, the entry level ones, they're so good that you have no excuse now to be bad at this. This one. How did you bring up the exposure? You bring up the shadows, you bring up the whole exposure. What'd you do?
I think I did a little bit of each. I think I brought the shadows up a little bit and I brought the whole exposure up a little bit.
Which is something I do quite often. I happen to love, that's one of the reasons I love this camera as well, is it handles that too. I can bring up the shadows so far, crush the highlights if you need to. I think I did a little bit of that on mine, like the highlights a little bit, brought the highlights down, or sorry, the shadows a little bit, but the highlights a lot just to get that sky back in. Even though it's out of focus, this thing handles it very well. So I think the days of worrying about full frame are over. Also, it should be noted that when it comes to movies, again, I can't remember if we talked about it on our show last week, if it was on Don's show, when you watch a movie like shot on 35mm film, Jurassic Park, or I don't know why I thought of that, but pick that movie. It's shot on a crop sensor camera. 35mm movie film is shot up and down. It's not shot side to side like still cameras are.
Okay.
So because you're flipping it over, you're shooting it widthwise. That is about 24mm, about the same size as the Canon APS-C sensor.
Wow.
So when we're worried about, oh, no, I need full frame. It's okay for Schindler's List.
Mm-hmm.
I could have said Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
We're just sticking with Spielberg stuff. It's okay for Jaws. You know, sometimes they'll shoot Super 35 but that's a whole, don't, let's not go down there. All right. That's it. Into the topic this week. You know, the topic is 500.
Yeah.
Did you think we would do this long?
No. Quite certain we wouldn't.
Yeah. Maybe it's like around 80.
I was going to say 50.
Oh, it'd never be a nice round number. It'd be 71 or something.
Like, yeah. Oh,
well, that's going to haunt me the rest of my life. 71. Do you remember back when we started?
No.
No, I don't. Well, I don't remember what happened yesterday. I'll be honest with you. But I was trying to think about all the changes and all the things that had gone on and how we started the show. And do you remember how the show started?
Sort of.
You don't.
Yeah. I remember getting a camera and then asking how to use it, and then you said,
was that the XT, the XS, the X?
Yeah, yeah, something? XS. Yeah, that's right. The XS, Canon XS.
And I remember you getting that. So that would have been in the fall or early winter. No, it would have been the fall, late fall of 2010.
Sounds right. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I had just been. I had just been there for in November. I've been to your house, and shot some photos and stuff like that. And then you said, oh yeah, you're talking about, you're thinking about you wanted to get a DSLR.
Right.
And you said, oh, you're gonna wait for the Boxing Day sales or the whatever it was, because there's no real Black Friday back then, I don't think.
No. No, you're right.
No. And so we talked about it, and I said, well, I remember saying to you, like, but what about the pictures you'll take between that you'll miss between now and then? Like, what's that worth to you? And you said, yeah, you know what? You're right. And you went and bought a camera the next day.
I believe you're correct. Yeah.
You had some points or something, or something to do. You had to buy it from someplace.
Yeah, because I think, like, you know, I bought a TV, and you get, like, if you buy the warranty and you don't use the warranty, when it finishes, you get that as store credit. Something along those lines. I never buy warranties on something like a TV, but I like the idea of being able to get the store credit for the value of it. And then that,
right,
that was what I had, you know, whatever, $300 or something that I could use towards whatever in the store. So I thought, oh, this is a good opportunity to get a camera.
Right. And so you did, but having really never used a camera before, and you said to me that, hey, how do I take pictures?
Yeah. Something along those lines. Yeah.
Something along those lines. And I said, and I, of course, I, with all my friends, I'm like, yeah, whatever you want to know, I'm happy to show you, whatever. Like, I'm happy to share whatever I can. Like, you show me how to do foot rubs and stuff like that, right?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. So it's a trade off.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I started showing you, but then I was like, hey, you know what? Why don't we just do this weekly? Like, I'll just show you something every week, and we'll make a podcast out of it, and see where that goes.
Yeah, in typical Al fashion, I ask a very simple question, it turns into a 10-year conversation.
Yeah. Still not done. Yeah.
Yeah. Still answering that question.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah. No, but you got good. You got good quickly, though. And so it's that's how we started, and we decided. I remember from the beginning, from the very beginning, like, there's a lot I don't remember, because I don't know if you know this. I didn't know how to do a podcast.
Oh, no. No, that's clear. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, no one's disputing that.
Yeah.
No, but I had heard a podcast, of course, and I'd been on Chris Marquardt's show a couple times by that point, or at least once by then. And I thought, oh, okay, well, we can do this, you know, not knowing that you have to publish them, like you have to edit them together, and then you have to publish them and put them on an RSS feed and do all that, and there's the iTunes component, like all these things I had to learn, which I did, and that was fine. I've been doing the pretty much the same way since day one, but you remember from day one, like I remember two things specifically, like not knowing how long we'd go for, how many episodes we'd do, but I knew right away that we had to do it every single week, because okay, there were some shows at the time, like podcasting was relatively new at that time, and there were some shows I liked that you just kind of didn't know when the next episode was coming out. Like, they'd be, you know, they'd do 3 weeks in a row and then disappear for a month, and you're like, well, I don't, that's not good. So I knew that. I knew it had to be weekly. I didn't want to go more than once a week, because that's too much effort and we'll run out of stuff to talk about. But, so I knew that. And then the second thing I knew is that I didn't want it to sound like we were talking on Skype.
Right.
And so from the very beginning, from day one, with very few exceptions, what we did from the very beginning was you record your audio in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I record mine here in Tubingen.
Correct.
And we talk over the internet, but we do not record that conversation. That's the point. So therefore, the recording that Adam is doing is not being crushed to get sent over over the internet. Mine's not being crushed. When we're done, Adam puts his in Dropbox. I get the usually around 600 megabyte file. About an hour long is about 600 megs. Unless you record mono, then it's half, 300. I get that shipped over, which used to take an awful long time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Like, we would record, and then I wouldn't edit it for like the next day because it was still uploading. But now it's just like that. So I get that file. I then marry them together. At the beginning of the show, we do a countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, alternating. That's how I marry them together. The show stays in sync, and it sounds like we're in the same room.
Wow.
Those are the two things I knew right away that no matter what else, we had to do that.
Right.
And then shortly thereafter, I added two more things. It wasn't until episode 8, I believe, where I said, we have to have a challenge photo where each week we challenge each other or throw one out there and we talk about that photo. Because the first 7 episodes, we didn't do that. So that came out. And then I forget when it happened, but what it used to be is we would just sort of figure out, okay, what day can we record this week? Okay, Wednesday. So the show would come out Thursday or Friday. It just depended, whichever day, two days later, that's when it would come out.
Right.
And then I recognized at some point early on that, no, it has to be a regular thing. It has to be Monday morning, boom, there's the new show. So, for this episode, I thought we should probably look back at some of our challenge photos. But I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about podcasting in general, like what role podcasts in general play in your daily life. Like, you listen to other people's.
I used to. I haven't really in a long time. Yeah,
because you don't. COVID, and then you don't commute anymore.
Yeah, I don't commute, so that was kind of my main podcasting window was the to and from work, which now is like
right.
5 minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, so I've kind of lost touch with the podcast that I was listening to. So I'm going to say especially since COVID, outside of our podcast, podcasts play zero role in my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it. I go through stretches like that where during COVID, especially when the kids were home and during the day, or if I wasn't, if I'm working in the shop downstairs, then I'll have a podcast going, but it would be rare. There's stretches where that doesn't happen. So I can see in your, everyday life where if you don't have the opportunity, it goes away. So, okay. So our photos.
Sure.
What was it like to look back on your own photos? Cause here's how we're going to go through it. I said to Adam, pick up 5 photos of mine that you think are, better than the rest or whatever criteria you want, just photos you want to talk about. And then pick out one of your own that you think is your favorite or your best or whatever it is. So that meant going through 482 photos times 2
mm-hmm.
for each person. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like looking back on your own photos?
Oh, it's kind of neat. Like a scrapbook or a photo album that you haven't looked at for many years. So yeah, it was neat because you see a lot of pictures of your kids when they're little and photos that, I hadn't thought of or forgot about. And, it was sort of a fun reminder. I think I'll have my own kids look through the photos because I think they'll like them as well. But no, that part was fun and sort of a trip down memory lane.
Do you, and now I know your daughter listens occasionally
mm-hmm.
to the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think at some point, she'll go back in the archives and listen to some of the early ones?
Maybe. If she gets more and more interested in photography, maybe she will. Or
but it's maybe, also her life, though.
Yeah, or maybe just for interest's sake. I again, mind of a 13-year-old, hard to tell. But maybe at some point.
I'm more thinking when she's 25.
Maybe, yeah.
I can't imagine. Like, I look back at my childhood and think, like, if there was a record of my dad talking to his buddy once a week about photography, but also about his life and our life, like what we were doing. I mean, when we started, so your daughter was what, 2?
Yeah, I think so, 2, yeah.
So you think about it, and your son was brand new, he was 2 days old or whatever. He wasn't very old at all. So basically their entire life, once a week, you've been checking in, throwing this diary stuff out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that's going to be like for her to listen to, or your son, or my kids as well. It's going to be kind of mind-blowing, I would think.
I agree.
Okay. Well, I'll ask my daughter about it in 12 years.
Yeah, I think I 100% agree with you. I think it would be very cool from their perspectives to listen to everything we're doing and what we're up to. And yeah, no, I hope so. I hope they listen to it at some point.
So did you see the progression of your skill level in those photos?
I think so. It's funny, like probably because we're also generally selecting photos we like to use as the markers for the photo challenge. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. they're complete misses, but I think for the most part, it's sort of a best of selection. So the progression might be like, if I looked at all of the misses along with those photos, then maybe it would be more obvious. But it's kind of, sometimes it's random, like where I see a really, really good photo that might have been more accidental or maybe lucky in the early going. And so the progression from those photos, I would say, is less stark than if I look at my library of photos and go back through the years.
Do you hate when you look at a photo that you took early on that's excellent and you just think, am I getting worse?
Yeah. I kind of liken it more to just getting a little bit lucky. And in the early going, there was probably some luck or a lot more luck than there would have been in the more recent ones.
So I looked back at your photos as well, obviously. And before I did, I'll be honest with you, I expected the earlier ones to be worse than they were. It's a shitty way of giving I say that. Ooh, I have to bleep that. That's a bad way of giving a compliment.
Okay.
But I mean, I wasn't like, oh man, they're going to be terrible. But I was like, wow, like, yeah, they've been good for a while. And so I thought about it. And of course, you got better, and so did I. I mean, that's kind of the point. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do the podcast is you would learn stuff, but I would improve a lot as well. Improve my game, so I'm in. But I thought about, why weren't your photos worse than they should have been? And here's my take. I have an answer, which you feel free to dispute.
Okay.
But from day one, you never argued. The words "yeah, but" never came out of your mouth. You never told me, oh yeah, but that's the way I've always done it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if I'm telling you something, my wife wants to know what time dinner is.
Okay. Let her know.
15 or 30. That's what she wrote it down on a little, hey, do you like me? Check yes or no. Whatever. So that was the pause.
Nice.
So, but you never came in with preconceived notions where I said, okay, yeah, okay, let's, if you want to do this, you back button focus, here's back button focus. You just went, all right, I'm doing back button focus. And you made up your own mind. It wasn't like you just followed me blindly, like, oh yeah, well, Al invented photography. So, you know, do whatever he says.
Right.
But you took whatever skill or knowledge I put forth, and just said, yeah, I'll give that a go. Never a preconceived notion. Never any friction on that.
Sure. No, I'll agree with that. I didn't really know anything. So I knew that.
But you knew that you didn't know anything.
I knew that I didn't know anything. And I knew that you had taken a bunch of good photos of my family and kids and my other friends, families, and kids. And so, again, I knew you were taking good photos, so I was happy to just figure out what you were doing. That's as simple as it was for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
But some people come into the situation like with just enough information so that they're dangerous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, you know, I have an 18 to 200. I know how this thing works, okay? I know how photography goes.
Right.
So you were a blank slate for sure. However, that statement in itself doesn't give you enough credit, because here's where it came in: is that you listened to what was being said, not just by me, but maybe it was Dawn or whomever. You listened, processed the info, and then applied it immediately. And then I'm saying this so that people listening along will understand what it takes to get good at something relatively quickly.
Sure.
So I'm not giving you a compliment because forget that. Right.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No. The so you listened, you processed the info, applied it immediately, and made mistakes along the way. Of course you do. It takes a few applications before it becomes part of your toolkit, right?
Right.
But after that, so you would take something, after you applied it, you would then adapt it or rework it to fit into your workflow.
Sure.
Fit into what you wanted to do. And so this is what we kind of, what they always tell people, experts always tell people, learning, you got to learn the rules before you break them. I went to film school with guys who are like, no, I'm just going to break all the rules. I'm like, well, that doesn't work. You have to understand how, what the rule of thirds is, or editing, or whatever these things are, and then you can go and make it your own. You can adapt it and run with it. That's awesome. Also, one of the other things that you would do and still do is you might take a small technique that was introduced on one thing and then apply it. You were not afraid to apply it to different situations. Say, okay. Oh, well, it works in this situation, but I'm shooting this. Hey, maybe I'll use back button focus over here. You know, maybe I'll use rule of thirds here. Whatever it was, I can't think of anything specific. But to take one little thing and then adapt it and use it on something else out of context, that is a huge, huge win. The idea being, if this, then that. That's the way I think of things. And that's kind of what I'm doing with woodwork right now. Like, I'll learn how to make do some joinery for, I don't know, for a bench. And then I'm going to go build a cabinet. Well, I can take that little piece, and even though it's a different kind of piece of furniture, I can apply these small things that I've learned. It's kind of important in everyday life.
Okay.
Lastly, before we get into our five photos, you're the kind of person who problem solves first, asks questions second. So by taking the time, if something's not going right, you take a minute and think, okay, what can I do here to make this better, versus the knee-jerk reaction of, hey, what do I do? I don't care. Like, those people, you can't help them. So in life, don't be that person. If you've exhausted your possibilities or whatever it is, feel free to ask for help. But think about things and how to solve problems yourself.
Good plan.
These are all things that you've done. That's why you got good. That's why you surprised me with your photos being better than I thought they would.
Okay.
Early on. All right. Top five photos. Let's go through yours first after that long spiel. I tried to reflect on the entire time period.
Okay.
Like from the very beginning, and try to get some more recent stuff as well. I wanted different styles, different themes, maybe different people. But I mean, obviously we shoot mostly our kids. And so I kind of, you know, since your kids have been such a big part of the show, your kids and your wife, I wanted to make sure that they were featured. And so different skill levels. I want to run the gamut. So let's go in order. Number 12. This is from week 12, Adam.
Yeah.
This is way better than it needs to be.
Yeah, we're looking at the photo of my wife that was taken on a walk on the dike, just like,
yeah,
you know, right by our house, and pop-up flash with the original camera and sunset, and just the pop-up flash just did a good job filling in the shadows.
Would you even think to do this now?
Probably not. No, I'd probably shoot ambient light. I'd probably change angles, or I would, you know, if I was really wanting to take this photo, then I'd probably use off-camera flash and like a umbrella or something. But it looks really good, and this took probably two seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. This looks way better than it needs to be. That's the thing. And so for you to have at week 12, so this would have been 20 episodes in, because we, like I said, we didn't do it. I changed the numbering later on in the show after 200 episodes or something like that. But point being, this was week 20 that you did this. So you've been doing the podcast for about half a year. And for you to balance the light on her face and add that little flick like you talked about for this week's photo and get that nice little catch light is great. And you didn't even, I'm guessing you didn't throw a little half CTO in front of the pop-up flash.
No, there was definitely none of that.
Which you'd think you had. Did you know how to bring up the shadows and pull back the highlights in at that time, probably aperture?
Yeah, it would have been aperture.
So did you do that? Was there, do you remember? You don't, no way.
I don't remember, but I'm going to say there's probably minimal adjustment to this photo.
All right. Next up, is challenge 189. That's the next one in order. Yeah.
Okay.
189. I love this one. Like, this is just ambient light. This is just the kids having fun. I think that's my wife in the background. I feel like we're there.
Yeah. That's my. Yeah. You guys were there. Okay. That's your wife. Yeah.
I love the expressions on your kids' faces.
Yeah. They're pretty excited. They both have the same mouth wide open kind of. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great expression. Yeah. I had this in my list. Like, if I would have picked probably five for myself, I'm pretty sure this one would have been on the list.
Yeah. Yep. And other than that, I mean, it's just, you know, oh, sure, we got some blown highlights in the sky. Who cares? I don't. We got nice depth here. We got just a great moment. And as soon as I saw this, I was like, I was 99% sure that was my wife in the background, meaning I was there. But
And your daughter. Your daughter's holding the skipping rope.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. And is that my daughter or my son?
I'm pretty sure that's your daughter.
Okay. Either way. It would be, yeah, doing the math on that would be, yeah, probably.
Because Jack's probably four there, so your daughter's probably two.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So my son not born yet. So yeah, likely not there then. But I remember this evening, and I remember the sheer excitement of being out there and all this, and that this photo took me back right away. All right, next up is I wanted to pick a landscape one, because okay, just to mix it up a little bit. So this is number 319. This is the oft photographed fishing needle.
Mm-hmm.
The fisherman's monument. Was it the net needle? What is it called?
I don't know. The fishing needle.
You live there.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Can't be a fishing needle. It's the whole thing is it's designed to mend. Like it's obviously a much larger version of the needle used to mend fishing nets, right? That's the premise of this.
Maybe. I to be honest, I don't know.
I'm 99% sure that's what this is supposed to
be. Okay. It mends fishing nets.
Gotcha. It's a monument to the lost fishermen because it's
that's very dangerous I job. Know yeah, exactly. I know that part, yeah. But I didn't know that it was a mending tool.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. So
okay.
Anyways, I mean this was actually included a couple times. You've shot this a couple times. I've shot this a few times. It's a great place to be. That's where you shot your family photos that you showed us for this week. It's mm-hmm. down by there. You can see it's in the background of the shot, in fact.
Yeah.
But this one was extra special because I love the blue sky, like the deep blue sky. The snow really adds an extra level here. We get the birds in the background and the way it just, the light hits that and just pops out. Very well done.
Okay.
All right. Next, challenge 395 is your son on the field of the baseball with the sprinklers going off.
Yeah, that's I have that one printed in our house. I like that one too.
Love it. Love this. I mean, this says to me there's a lot going on here. This has happened to me as a kid and an adult multiple times when the sprinklers come on mid game or mid practice or whatever this is, and we always thought it was hilarious as well. And the sheer joy on his face of what's going on here. We got motion. He's running or throwing the bat or something.
No, they're running around, but he had a bat because they were using it to kind of deflect the water. And yeah.
Okay. But either way, clearly a nice summer evening. He's having a great time and all the elements you need here. We have the screen in the front adds, you know, tells you where you are. It tells you exactly. All you need to know is right in this image. Okay. And the last one I picked because I thought, you know what? I hadn't, aside from the pop-up flash, I hadn't picked any shots that you had lit.
Okay.
And so it's funny because I went through all 500 and or 492, I guess, and narrowed it down. And like I said, I was like, it's really hard to pick. It's really hard to pick just five. So anyways, I wanted to pick one that was a little more recent and a little more lit, and your daughter just has a great expression on her face. So this is 427.
Yeah. And then you reenacted this photo because I
wish I hadn't.
Yeah. And that was pretty funny. So she's got I think that it's called a teddy bear jacket, like the fashion name for this jacket. But yeah, she's got a very model-esque kind of look and pose here with the teddy bear jacket. And so you had to reenact it. So you should have put that one in too.
I'm going to scrub that one from the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's out.
Okay.
So there you go. Those are the five I picked. I could have picked 10 other ones, but those are the ones I picked.
Okay.
All right. Let's have a look at the ones that you picked for mine. So in order. Okay.
So 189. So 189 was the one taken at the pool here in Steveston of your daughter getting out of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that one's great. Love that one. The background, the symmetry, the angle, just where the light is falling, like just a great photo. Her color, purple bathing suit, and sort of the contrast, like, yeah, just so many cool elements to this photo that I really like. So that one,
it is on the wall above my computer monitor right in front of me.
Oh, there you go. So we were definitely on the same page there. And I think, like you, I tried to, you know, pick a couple, like, you know, there's so many pictures of your kids. So I tried to, you know, find one that I really liked of your daughter, again, from an earlier time. This one was 189, obviously. And then I tried to pick, you know, some that included your son and then something that were different. But that photo is great. And yeah, not much else I can say other than I just really like that photo.
One of the details I like the best about it myself is the little trickle of water coming off her right foot.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a favorite of mine. So also, I look like a kind of a weirdo with my 85 mil and I forget what camera. This is the 40D actually in the pool. I'm in the pool with this camera, right?
Right.
Which is always a you know, people get a kick out of that. Like, what is that guy doing? This is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Making magic.
Yeah. All right. Next up is 291. Is the one you picked.
291. It's sort of like a quirky photo of your daughter. And I really like her expression. The light is great. I can't remember if this was window light. It's in black and white. And it just, the background just drops off to black. But it just, her expression and just the light are so terrific that this is the kind of little kid photo that, again, is more memorable to me than just the typical kind of goofy smiley faces. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's more personality in this shot, and the lighting is just terrific. So
you're two for two on this because this one's also on the wall.
Wow.
Yeah, this one's in the hallway.
Okay.
For that reason, I love it too. This is window light, one of my favorite things. This really happened at a great time. Window light's great. Sometimes you still get a little detail in the background, but this one fell off really quickly. Mm-hmm. And there's no magic here. There's no post-production magic besides making it black and white. This is just look for good window light and do that. And I also love the expression on her face too. I remember this.
And then the next one is your 384, which is both of your kids together in what just looks like perfect magic hour light. So you got the golden sunshine. They're kind of being goofy together. So it's funny how you picked, you know, kind of a goofy one of my kids together that you like so much. And then I picked kind of this goofy, your son nuzzling your daughter. Is this like, that's a cast, right? She had broken her arm or something?
Yes, she had broken her arm, 3 weeks before and had the cast on for a week at this point.
And so, you know,
the math on that. That's the kind of dad I am.
Yeah. So, and she's just got like this nice, coy kind of smile. And then he's all up in her grill with the big kind of cheesy smile. And it just sort of has that sibling love look that, you know, is not posed. It's just more candid and natural. And just their colors, the background, everything about it is good. So, just perfect light and a nice moment. So, really like that one.
This is, again, it's a situation of put yourself in a good lighting position and wait for something to happen. Be ready.
And then the next one I chose is 457 of your son standing with the blue.
Oh, 438 you've got.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, out of order. Sorry. 457 is the last one. 438. This was one of the magazine covers that you did. And I'm pretty sure during that episode, I raved about this. I mean, it's got the guy. So it's for your baseball team and you've got the guy that's Canadian and he's wearing a bunch of hockey gear inside the dugout and he's got the baseball bat as his hockey stick, but he's wearing his skates and his helmet and just a great mix of light here. So this one is lit and just like you, I tried to kind of mix it up a little bit, but I really, really liked of all the magazine covers you did. This one was to me, one of the most memorable outside of the nuke photo where the guy's nude on the front. But no, this photo is just great from a lighting perspective. Love everything about it and the composition and where you've got the cage from the dugout and it just framed really, really well. So love that photo.
For clarity, he's not Canadian. He's a German, but we're playing an exhibition game against a Canadian team.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I should have.
So that's why we did that. Yeah.
Dropping the mitts with the North baseball. I should have figured that out. Yeah.
Right. Okay. It's a confusing name for they have a travel team. They're called the North.
Gotcha.
Or the North baseball or something like that's what they're called. So that's what's confusing. But yeah, so this guy, he's a local guy. And I don't know if he'd ever worn skates before, and he was wearing my gamers, which is kind of, like, I don't think anyone's ever worn my skates before, so that was kind of a twofer on that one. But this one, two of the things I remember is sort of being kind of hamstrung about how much of the doorway to the screen I would include. Because it was just kind of a difficult spot. It's not how I imagined to shoot this.
Right.
And about 2 hours before, but when we shot this, the weather was fine. 2 hours before, we had torrential downpour. So right in front of him is just a lake. Like our dugout filled up with water. So it made it very difficult to get in and out, to put the lights on and it's like to get the lights adjusted and that. But this is lit and camera left is a CTO, half CTO. Camera right in the shadows is probably like a quarter or a half CTB, just to give that hint of that the blue in the shadows. Something I picked up paying attention to Mr. David Hobby, the strobist, always talks about that, and it's such a great tip. So thanks to him for that one.
And then last, I got 457, which was a photo of your son in front of a fence with the branches that are kind of framing all around him. And I believe this one is lit as well. You can chime in if it wasn't. But yeah, just great kind of background, you know, great sort of perspective, you know, the way the expression on your son's face and sort of, you know, has kind of a posed but still kind of candid sort of look to it, and the color separation, like his blue jacket on the background. I mean, there's texture. There's so many cool things going on in this photo. So yeah, really, really like this one as well.
It's one I forgot about actually, because it wasn't that long ago. I guess a year ago. Geez, could it have been that? This seems to me he's wearing the down jacket, so it must have been cooler weather than... There's no way you took this in July, I'll tell you that.
Correct.
I'll figure out when this was. Not off the air, I'll figure it out. But it was, yeah, cooler weather. And yeah, I forgot all about this one. But I do like it. I like the look on his face. And there you go.
There you go.
All right. So let's... Now, with the last part of the deal was you pick out your favorite photo that you took. Favorite photo, one that you think's the best, whatever the criteria was. Let's have a look at yours. This is what you picked out for your favorite, number 365. I should tell you that I pulled out my favorites of yours. I got the list down to 10 and then whittled it down to 5 from there. This was in the 10.
Okay, yeah. I chose this because, I mean, it is one of my favorite photos, but I also didn't want to choose one that was just my son or just my daughter. So that negated a few of my favorite photos for sure. And then I thought, okay, you know, I want to choose one that's more of the whole family, or at least one of my favorite family shots. And then this one's framed it on our wall, and I immediately thought of this one. So Just again, perfect light. This was in Vernon. We've taken many a tractor photo, but this one is my favorite of all the tractor photos. You know, just, yep. just perfect time of day, just a little bit of soft kind of, pink kind of light that's coming through, and just, yeah, everything about this photo I like. So, yeah.
What you could have done with this is it would have been very easy to underexpose a bunch to try to keep the highlights of the sky in there and more detail in the snow. And then you could have pumped some light in on them and sort of, you know, made it, I guess, pop a little bit, and it would have looked terrible. It would have looked like you lit it. It wouldn't look natural. Like, this looks natural without overdoing it.
Right.
Is there a light involved in this?
No, this is all ambient light, yeah.
I'm assuming you would have to save a little, some highlights in post, but you didn't go over the top with it. Like the snow is just kind of washed out enough. It's right where it needs to be. The tractor and your family and extended family are all relatively small in the photo. Like, it mm-hmm. would have been very simple to move up and just fill the frame with them.
Right, yeah.
And you would lose all of that surrounding area, which kind of is very important to this photo.
Yeah, yeah. I like it a little wider like this, for sure.
Sure. And then, of course, you know, the red of the tractor really stands out against that, the monotone rest, like the background and that, and then all the colors that your family's wearing as well. So there's a reason I picked it in the top 10 of yours as well.
Okay, so now what about yours?
Look at mine. Oh, hey, surprise. Yeah. So I love this photo. I love it more every year. Like I said, it's been on my wall since I took it.
This is the photo of your daughter. You haven't said that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sorry. It's the photo, the one that you chose, of my daughter at Steveston swimming pool.
Yeah, getting out of the pool.
I mean, that it means a lot to me for a bunch of different reasons. One, I used to swim there as a kid. Quite often we go there with friends and go in that little pool. Those cubby holes have not changed. They might have thrown a coat of paint on them in, you know, the mid-80s, but that's it. And it reminds me of growing up in Richmond. And then to see my own daughter there, and then to have the light hit her as it did. Like, this isn't lit. The sun was coming down, setting at that spot, not lighting up the background. There's no trickery here. This is pretty much out of camera. There's a possibility I might have erased a single towel in a cubby hole just to go for symmetry, but
yeah, I remember something like that. Yeah. That you pulled something out of one of those boxes. Yeah.
Could be, but I just love the old cinder block. Like, that speaks volumes of when this was built. This pool was probably built, I'm going to say 1965, in Richmond, in the time where it wasn't, like, you know, opulent. So they was like, all right, we're going to throw cinder blocks up. It's going to function. And so it's, to me, that's visually interesting, and it combined with her, and we have the rule of thirds, and we have a lot going on. We have the colors and all that. So there's a reason I like it, and the sentimental value as well.
Yeah.
I had two honorable mentions that I don't want to spend too much time on. The one of my kids up at the Ostsee, the East Sea, we were on vacation there a couple years ago, and I snapped a photo of them with an off-camera flash, my wife holding just a bare flash camera left with a CTO on it,
yeah,
on my kids. I loved how it balanced against the background, like the really crisp colors and the way I can stop down and then add that flash and really hit them on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that one. And then I like the technique I'd used of my buddy Alex pitching. That was one photo, like one exposure. But basically what I did was I put it on bulb on a tripod, and then using the flash remote in my hand, I popped the off-camera flash four times within the same image to get that multiple exposure within the same image. And I've always kind of liked this photo.
Yeah, this one was in my top seven. It was one of the last cuts to make the top five. So I liked it as well. And then I ended up thinking I'm only going to choose one of your baseball related photos. So I went with the hockey guy. But yeah, this was right there, right there in the top photo.
All right. So that's it. That's our episode 500.
Yay.
Can't believe I just said that. 500.
Yeah.
So, but again, thanks to everybody for listening all this time. People who found us late and
thanks, you know, mom,
going back and listening.
Thanks, Al's dad. Mom. Yeah.
Thanks, mom's friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Not my wife. My wife still never heard a minute of this show.
Perfect.
That's how we stayed married this time. So anyway, thanks to all the listeners. Thanks for contributing. We're going to, next week, we'll back at it. We're going to review your submissions for summer. And
or you can just listen to like this episode for the next 3 weeks. You know, just break it off into like 25-minute chunks.
Because it's so long?
Yeah, you should be good for the next month.
Yeah. The good news is, even though it was 80 minutes long, it was still interesting. It was a Rembrandt every minute. It was just that good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap it up then. Challenge for next week is our monthly challenge of summer. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both of those and tag us at Two Hosers on Instagram, and we'll talk about that. I've already seen a number of them have been submitted, so get yours in. We'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Mine, you can find it at AlanNatridge.com. The two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.